There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hear me?
I did. I heard you.
And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need. You just say that and they show up. They come jumping out of a shrub.
Oh, cool.
No matter where you are in life, when you need the coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Now ADT professionally installs Google Nest products so your home is safe and smart. Google Nest cams can tell the difference between a person, an animal, and a vehicle.
Mm.
Or with Nest Doorbell, even a package. I can't tell the difference between those things. That's incredible. And with Nest Aware as part of your monthly ADT service, you get 30 days of event video history. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hi, Kitty. Say hello to Conan and David.
Hi, Conan and David.
How are you, Kitty?
Well, I'm good. This is quite surreal. Is this real? Are you real?
There's no proof that I'm real, actually. I may be a phantom. I may exist only in your memories.
You're just
your
sitting there
fears.
Like it's kind of weird. You're like the president thing at Disneyland right now.
Yes.
If sometimes, the shoe fits.
Sometimes I like to go and sit with them. Sometimes. Now, Kitty, so much to ask you. Where are you right now?
I live in Hurley, New York, upstate New York near Woodstock.
Oh, that's beautiful country up there.
It's gorgeous.
That's gorgeous.
Up here.
Yeah, I love to get up there. I love Columbia County. I love the Berkshires. That whole area is just absolutely gorgeous.
It is. We found it by accident. We were living in Iowa.
When you say you found it by accident, you were driving, your car broke down, and then you decided
to
live
we
there.
Drove from Iowa to New York just on a whim.
That sounds like heaven.
Yeah. So we went. I had no idea where this was. We flew to Albany. Drove down through Hudson, and it was October, so our heads
leaves
exploded.
Leaves changing, yeah.
It was prime. It was also the Woodstock Film Festival. So we're, you know, sitting having coffee, and Matt Dillon walks by, you know, and we thought, "What? Where are we? What's going on here?"
So we. Well, he tends to walk by wherever you are. You're gonna. He's probably following you.
I think he is. I think he's outside.
Yeah, see him? He's got a problem that way, but I just saw him go behind you right now. Well, I have a question for you, which is, I'm told you're a writer, but I don't know what kind of writer. What do you write?
I write obituaries. I write a lot of things, but
oh my God, you're an obituary writer. Oh, this is incredible. I'm fascinated by obituaries. I always go right to the obituaries in the paper. And I never quite knew what fascinated me so much about obituaries. And I was asking my dad, who's a smart guy, and my dad said, it's because the story is complete. He said, everything else you read is, okay, this happened, but we don't know how that will change tomorrow. But when you're reading an obituary, it's the story has an end. And it's very profound. And there's something kind of beautiful about them.
I love that he said that. You know, it didn't occur to me until my dad died. He died before my mom did. And I was sitting and I was looking at letters that he had written me when I was in college. And it dawned on me, just like your dad said, you see the arc. The arc,
yes.
You see the beginning, and now I see the end. And it just changed everything that he wrote in those letters. How
yes.
I, you know, read it. I was like, oh, he was 40-something then. He had no idea what was going to all turn out, you know. And so your dad's correct.
Yeah, there is something about them. The circle has closed. That's it. And so I'm fascinated by obituaries. And I think they can be sometimes the most profound part of the newspaper. Everything else is chaos. And then there's something beautifully enduring and obviously very final, but feeling very true when you read an obituary. There's just, and you always see the highs and the lows in their life. You always, you know, especially with anyone in the arts or politics, There was always the early years of like struggle, then some triumph, then terrible disaster, usually midway through, but then the recovery from that disaster.
Exactly. And you know,
I don't know.
I write some where there is no recovery too. And so there's that too. That's the story, you know?
Yeah.
So what we do, I actually have a company with my husband. It's called The Healing Obituary. And we came up with it because I had been writing them for friends and family. And it became clear that the most meaningful part of it was when we all sat down and I started asking them questions. Mm-hmm. And that gave them that chance to talk about the person, the first chance that they had since the person died. So things were coming out of their mouths that were unbelievable. And I was writing it all down. And it never fails. After I'm finished, the person will say that was the most meaningful part of the whole ceremony.
Of course. That makes a lot of sense because you're getting them. There's this notion that I had a while ago, and this isn't a new idea because there are people that are terminally ill and they basically have a funeral while they're still alive where everyone can talk about them and while they're there. And that's something. And I started to think recently, what if there was a service where you could get someone to write your obituary so you could read it before you go? You know, obviously you don't want to do that too early in the game, but it might make people feel better if they could look at their life through that lens and think, oh my God, this is what I've done and this is what I've meant and here is who I'm survived by and this is everything I went through. It could be a very profound experience for people.
Well, everything you're saying is true. I just have to say, David and Matt, isn't this just a hysterical interview so far?
Guess what? But you know what? Here's the situation, Kitty. One of the things I like about this format so much is that I don't want things to be funny that shouldn't be funny. And when there is something, a funny moment, and we'll have it, then we'll have it. But this is fascinating to me. And this is a really nice conversation. And I think
agree.
People...
And I love what you're saying because it's exactly what we do. The Healing Obituary, I'll write an obituary for people who hire me and who ask me to. But our main function is to go to funeral homes and train their staff how to write a better obituary.
Yeah.
It's you read them in the paper and they're a lot of times the same. You know, Conan loved his cats and he loved his dogs, but most of all, he loved his family. And so we're teaching.
Well, that's just bullshit.
I know.
First of all, who loves cats? They're
well, you have cats, right?
I know, but not by choice. I have them because my daughter wanted them and my wife wanted them. And And
well, then we would say Conan really hated his cats and was forced.
But that's more interesting. Yeah.
Let's workshop this.
Exactly.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I just got an amazing detail from an obituary that I wrote a couple days ago. This woman told me that her husband was in plays. They had moved to Florida. They were kind of snowbirds and they moved to Florida. And he, in their little community, he was performing plays and he sang to her from the stage. And he pointed at her when he was singing. This is like an 82-year-old guy. Yeah. And I said, what was he singing? And she said, something about the days dwindle down to a precious few. And I just thought, oh my God. So I didn't put that in the obituary.
I love that she wasn't really paying attention.
I know.
I don't know. He wasn't that good a singer.
I was watching the other actor.
I want to see that. So
she was on her iPhone the whole time. She was watching the races. I'm trying to see if my horse came in. I don't know. That guy was always singing some bullshit.
Kitty, can we workshop Conan's obituary?
Yeah. I am curious because I want to know, am I going to get a New York Times obituary? Because I think it's all when you go. Meaning, if I'm in a ballooning accident tomorrow, I'm getting a New York Times obituary. That's pretty awesome. Gee, I hope I go in a balloon tomorrow. But, see, I'm not worried about that because I'm not going to go ballooning tomorrow. So
okay,
I'm safe.
That's good.
But if I stick around too long and I go on like 92, I'm not going to get anything. Because if you stick around too long past your prime, they don't care anymore. Oh, yeah, I'll get a shout out in the Brookline Chronicle, but that's going to be about it. So What do I do? How do I make sure I don't lose my slot on a New York Times obit?
You keep going and doing what you're doing, and you won't be washed up by 92. You'll still be out there, you know.
Well, Kitty, I know that they write like certain celebrities' obits in advance when they're in advanced age. How early do they start doing that?
Yeah, has someone already written mine somewhere? Yeah.
Oh, God, yes. Yep.
Have you, Kitty?
Yeah, not me. There's a file at the New York Times that they, you know, that's how come when someone dies, their obituary pops up so fast because it's already mostly written.
Yeah, but I think they do that. They don't do that for young, vibrant.
Like the moment Conan got a talk show, they started writing that obituary.
Exactly.
I've got to read it. I've got to see
what
they've got on me so far.
I know, because they'll write whatever they want about it.
Yeah.
You can't have it.
You can't see it. They'll never show it to you.
Oh, no, wow. you should call them right now. You should call the obituary desk.
Here's what I want. I want the phrase sexual athlete to be in there. I want them to say Conan was a sexual athlete and had an animal magnetism. I don't care if it's true or not. I just want it in there.
That's going to be when Conan the Barbarian dies.
Okay, you freaks, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, and delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Right, guys?
Yeah, that's what I think about all the time.
That's all I think about. I'm a real whiz. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. It just does.
Yeah.
Words.
So to reduce, what's that?
Words.
Yeah, exactly. That helped. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. You knew where I was going with this, right?
Yeah, I do. Please tell us what NetSuite is.
I shall. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system. It brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one, count them, one platform and one source of truth.
Yeah.
Right. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform, you will not only improve efficiency, you'll also cut costs. Yep. NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. That's why they call it the cloud. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. If you're not doing it, you should too. Hey, so do the math. That sounds aggressive. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Wow. Head to netsuite.com/Conan. netsuite.com/Conan. One more time if you weren't listening. netsuite.com/Conan. Can't believe we've been doing this podcast for 5 years. Lots changed. But you know what? There's also things that haven't changed. Mm. Great taste of Miller Lite. Yeah. Hasn't changed. It was the original light beer. And to this day, for my money, it's still the best one.
It's good.
I'll fight anyone that disagrees.
Will you?
Well, not with my... I'll have someone fight for me. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want, less of the stuff you don't.
Yeah.
I like great taste, clean finish, simple ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, some of these beers, they put caramel in there.
Ugh.
Corn cobs.
Oh.
Chicory. I don't want that. I like the simple taste of Miller Lite. Classic. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories.
That's good.
It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need, holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes, hello, like beer.
Yeah, not like water that's just kind of beery.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like that. That's a bad name for a beer, too. Water that's mostly beery. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. I came up with that.
Oh.
I should get paid. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Conan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. If you're being honest, no one really knows what you do for work, especially if you're in B2B. That's a business doing business with other businesses.
Oh, I didn't know you knew what that was.
I know exactly what that is. B2B, I use that all the time. Businesses doing businesses with other businesses. Fortunately, LinkedIn has a network of professionals who get what you do, and you can reach the right people who matter most to your company. LinkedIn has over 1 billion members on its platform, including 70 million decision makers.
That's good.
Since LinkedIn members are regularly updating their work history, you can precisely build a target audience by job title, industry, company, and more. Start reaching the right people for your, get ready, B2B business with LinkedIn ads. gets even better because LinkedIn will give you a $100 credit on your next campaign.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just go to linkedin.com/Team Coco to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/Team Coco. Terms and conditions apply. I get to say this again. Listen, LinkedIn, the place to be, right?
That's cool.
Business to business.
That's really cool.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have a social battery, and you can feel drained sometimes, you know? What I'm saying is, you know me, and sometimes I'm bursting with energy, and sometimes I get a little down. Well, you got to pay attention to your social battery and spread yourself a little more evenly, okay? Don't get spread too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. So all you do, and it makes it easy, fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. And that's important. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Conan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. That's right. I'm going to spell help. HELP.com/Conan.
Here's what we need to do. We need to get the locksmith from last week's episode, get him to break us into the New York Times.
Yeah,
look at these things.
Right. And bring the roller skating woman from another episode to take out the guards by smashing into them. You know what we should do? We can use all of the people I've interviewed in these Conan O'Brien fan segments. I can talk to them and I can reunite them and we could form this super team.
Yeah, this is the heist crew.
Like, there's a locksmith.
O'Brien's 11.
O'Brien's 11. And then the whole goal is to break into the New York Times, find my obit, and then I use you, Kitty. You have to come with us through the whole thing. Everyone else is taking out guards, picking locks, creating a special kind of chloroform that knocks people out. And then you're the one, finally, when we get in and we've hacked the system with one of the IT people I've talked to, then you write the obit that I want. Conan O'Brien, known for his animal magnetism and his sexual athleticism, is gone at 144.
I've got it. Hold on.
Wait, she's right. Your crew's going to be dead. Your crew's going to be long dead.
And then we all have to get tattoos from that woman that was the tattoo.
Right.
All right.
Conan's 11.
Yeah. It should be a cartoon show like Scooby-Doo. I like it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we've created a really good show.
Yes.
Or maybe it's just a whole other spinoff podcast called Conan Writes His Obit. Every week we add more
it.
Bullshit
just,
to my...
It's just
my,
one sentence a week. It's the shortest podcast.
My kooky obit that will go on for pages and pages. No, but I'm fascinated by this. And I have to say, every now and then I'll read an obit that was for a life that was so fantastic and so unusual. And I'm going to cite an example. A lot of people don't know this, but Stalin had a daughter and she grew up in the Kremlin and her father was Stalin and her mother, I think, famously committed suicide because you try living with Stalin. She went on to obviously survive her dad, then left the Soviet Union and then was sort of a tabloid person in like swinging London in the 60s. And then she's living all over the world. She's marrying again. She's in all these sort of mini scandals and she's Stalin's daughter. And then she finally ends up, I'm getting this wrong, but you'll get the gist of it. She ends up dying at a very old age in like a little shack with no power in Nebraska, or west of Nebraska, someplace in the northwest region, and people were like, "Yeah, she was this sort of kooky old lady who lived in a shack and didn't have any power, and we'd see her every now and then." And you just looked at the arc of her life was insane.
She might have been married to Frank Lloyd Wright.
Maybe, I don't know.
We're gonna have to look that up, but I know exactly, and I'm trying to think of her name. But you're right.
I know she was a voice on the Flintstones for a while. But what I'm saying is, look up that obit in the New York Times. I think I read that three times and kept sending it to people. And I said, match this arc. Like, this arc is incredible. You're growing up, you know, behind the walls of the Kremlin, and your dad's the most feared, autocrat in the world. And then you're dancing on tabletops at a nightclub in swinging London. And then you're like having a fist fight with Richard Burton in Monaco. And then
that is you're so cool.
And then you're in a shack. Just mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
There's a book that you must read. It's by an obituary writer named John Pope, and he lives in New Orleans. And he writes obituaries for people from New Orleans.
All right, I'll read that. So Kitty, I'm just fascinated by the whole thing. The whole topic blows my mind, that you're an obituary writer and that you are going to help me break into the New York Times, rewrite my obit so that it has some real zip to it.
Oh, yeah.
But do you have any question for me?
Well, if we did the template for how we would write your obituary, mm-hmm. the question that I would ask you, actually, I thought maybe David and Matt, we could do it and pretend that you're dead. And now we're writing your obituary. Oh, wow. You too. But
can we have me have gone in a really cool way?
Yeah.
That I was mountain biking in Sullivan Canyon near my home, which is something I really do. And I came around the corner and there was a bobcat. I got off my mountain bike.
Died of a
heart
attack.
Fought the bobcat. And we just went at it and we fought for 6 hours. And then finally I expired. But my dying words to a park ranger was, don't harm the bobcat. It was him or me.
Wow.
And the bobcat is set free. And then, much to my annoyance in the afterlife, I found out the bobcat is a hero. But anyway, that's how I died. And now Matt and David will help fill in the info.
Okay. All right. So, Matt and David, when you think of Conan, what are the first words that come to mind?
Oh, comedian.
Okay.
Entertainer.
Mm-hmm. This is awful. This is just my profession.
Writer.
Why don't you just get my shoe size while you're at it?
He's dead, so he.
Oh, okay.
I'm
obituary
gone. I'm not
critic.
Here. I'm in a bobcat's lower intestine.
Wow.
I just feel like even when he's gone, he's looming over my shoulder.
That's because I am. I'm right here.
He's even there more now that he's dead.
Yeah.
So far, we have him described as a looming comedian.
Ooh.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think we can do better.
Okay. Sexual athlete?
Yeah, but that's you.
Very full of himself.
Yeah,
right.
Full of himself. Concerned with his own obituary.
That's why we need to break into the New York Times and get this thing taken care of.
Writer from beyond the grave.
What if the first line was Conan O'Brien, a man obsessed with his own obituary?
It would be. That would be. That should be what it is.
Has died.
Okay, that would be awesome. And you know what? You can write your own. People do it. There's a guy who famously did it in Des Moines, and it was hilarious.
I want to write one that that's filled with misinformation.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, just I think it would be so much fun to throw in all this stuff in there, like, after a brief, you know, I mean, stuff that doesn't even make sense chronologically.
Yeah.
But just, you know, people are busy. They're reading this thing like, oh, Conan O'Brien, let's check it out. And was like, you know, during the Korean War, he served briefly with the, like, and they're like, oh, okay. And it's like, he wasn't born when the Korean War broke out.
Exactly.
But no, I can put stuff like that in there. Why not?
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my stepson said that your obituary should include that you leave behind your wonderful scenes in Death Stranders.
Oh, my God. That's right. That's a video, a very obscure reference.
Yeah. My stepson's cool like that. He said that.
Yeah.
I got to give him a shout out.
I have one thing to tell you. If it's in the first paragraph of my obit that I make a cameo in the obscure video game Death Stranding, then I've really achieved nothing in this life.
See, there are plenty of people who would disagree.
That's true. Three of them, I think. and that's worldwide. Well, Kitty, I'm afraid that's all the time we have, but I have to say I meant everything that I said about what you do. I think obituaries are really important, and I think they're kind of hauntingly, they can be hauntingly beautiful when done correctly and probably help people heal.
They really do. I appreciate you saying that. People think their lives have been boring, and they're really not.
Right. Especially when they're allowed to make things up in their obit,
yes,
which is what I am. Well, Kitty, nice meeting you. And I hope you're not writing about me anytime soon. I hope we're not thinking about this for a long, long time.
So do I.
If I do go, let's hope it's a bobcat on a mountain bike ride.
Cougar, well, bobcat.
Yeah, same thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Kitty, and thank you for being such a great fan. And I hope our paths cross in a non-obituary way someday in the future.
Same. That would be great. And I got to say, your behind-the-scenes people are just really wonderful.
Oh, good.
I've had a blast talking to all of them.
Terrific. Well, thank you. They're
Thanks,
supposed
Kitty.
To be, but I'm glad they are. Well, you take care, Kitty.
Oops,
thank you very much.
I don't know what just happened.
She's gone. She's out of it.
And she's gone.
Okay.
That was abrupt. Who did she do that?
She did that.
She could not have gotten out of there faster.
She said all she wanted to say.
Kitty out.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Music by Jimmy Vivino. Supervising producer Aaron Blairt. Associate talent producer Jennifer Samples. Associate producers Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineered by Will Beckton. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.